One time, a long time ago, in the old country, there was a table inside of a house. And around the table, there were sitting different chassidim and different yidin. And they were sitting around the table. And what were they talking about? They were talking about their rebbes. Each of these yidin had a different rebbe. And each one was talking how great was his rebbe. The first one says, my wife and I were married for many years. We had no children. Finally, I went to my Rebbe for a bracha. I said, Rebbe, my wife and I are married for such a long time. We don't have a baby. Please give us a bracha for our baby. And a year later, we had a baby boy. Oh, what a great Rebbe I have. Such a great bracha. And another man said, well, listen to what my Rebbe did. A few years ago, I was very poor. I only had in the house bread and beans. And we drank water, sometimes milk. Once in a while, we got a piece of onion. And once in a while, a little piece of fishy or a little piece of fleshy. That's it. We were so poor. Broken furniture, broken everything. Finally, I went to my Rebbe. I said, Rebbe, my family has no money. We have no parnaseh. Please, Rebbe, I need a bracha to have money for my family. And very shortly after that, I was matzliach in a certain business, and I started getting more and more wealthy until I became a big, big rich man, a big gvir. Now I have a big, beautiful house and so much money and fields, and I have all kinds of beautiful furniture and fancy schmancy things in my house and beautiful things, and I have so much money, and I give tzedakah, and I help yeshivas and poor people, and a big kitchen, we cook for people food, and we have for Shabbos so many guests. And this is because of the bracha from my Rebbe. And everybody at the table said, oh. And by the first one who said he had a bracha for a little baby, they said, oh. Another man at the table said, well, last year I was in the hospital sick, and the doctors came and they said, this man is going to, well, we don't want to say the word. The worst was going to happen to him. He was so sick. The medicines didn't help. The pills and the shots didn't help, and nothing helped, and he was in the hospital, and his condition was getting worse and worse. Finally, he decided he needs a bracha from his Rebbe. He sends somebody with a tzetel asking for a refuah shlema. And after that, very soon after that, he was out of the hospital feeling very, very good. He had a refuah shlema, and the doctors scratched their heads. They couldn't figure out how did he get better. It was a bracha from my Rebbe. Someone else had a different story to say. Each one had a maisa from his Rebbe. There was one chassid by the table who did not say any stories. He's quiet. And he happened to be a Chabad chassid, a Lubavitch chassid. And the other men, they knew this. They said, hey, what about you? Each of us said, am I from our Rebbe? What about from your Rebbe, the Lubavitch Rebbe? Let's hear a ma'isa. Don't you have a ma'isa also to tell about some great thing your Rebbe did for you? Some great miracle, some great bracha? Look at all of us. We have such great stories of great miracles and great brachas. We've heard that Lubavitcher Rebbe is a great tzaddik, a great Rebbe. You must have a ma'isa to tell. And the chassid shook his head, well, I don't know if I have a ma'isa to tell. I do have one ma'isa, but I don't know if I should tell it. Oh, come on. Tell the ma'isa. We want to hear the ma'isa from your Rebbe. I don't know if I really should tell this ma'isa. But they asked, they begged, they said, please. And finally now he says a ma'isa from his Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he says like this. My business is lumber, wood. This is what I do. I go to the forest, I rent a part of the forest from the Poritz. I take workers. We go out, we chop down the trees, usually in the winter time. And from the trees, of course, comes wood. What do? The workers now push the wood, the big trees, through the snow. They cut off the branches and only get the big trunk part, the big log part, I mean the big part of the tree, the big trunk part. And also the branches we tie together, but the big heavy part of the tree, they push it through the snow, it slides through the snow. The workers push, we have horses, and it slides down the hills and down the mountains until we get to the big river. In the river, we slide the big logs and the big trees into the river, and they float, because it's wood. And some of it is tied together, some of it is not, and the workers know how to do this. They float the logs and the trees and the wood down the river, like boats. They go down the river until they get to a marketplace where they sell the wood. And different people go with their wood to the marketplaces, special cities, and people that want to buy this wood, they come to buy the wood, usually men from big factories who want a lot of wood to make furniture or to make different things out of wood to build houses. And they come with their workers, with wagons and with horses, and they buy the wood, and they take it, they chop it up, and there's a lot of money involved to sell many, many trees, and people buy the trees for big money. This is what I do for a few months out of the year, and the money that I make, of course, I have to pay my workers, I have to pay for the different things that I use for my work, then the rest of the money I get to keep, I give tzedakah, and I take from my family. It's a very, very big job. I work for a few months out of the winter especially. And the rest of the time, I have parnassus for my family. This is what I do. And usually, before I go out into the forest in the winter time and I start my job, I go to my Rebbe for a bracha. I say, Rebbe, please, I would like a bracha. Everything should go well. Everything should be safe. There's a lot of dangers. A tree can fall, chas shalom, on your head. Or who knows, what the workers can sometimes start up and do things. And it's cold in the forest. There's all kinds of sakanas and all kinds of things. There's wolves. There's many things to ask a bracha for. And the main thing, there should be parnasa from the whole thing. It should be work for something. All the hard work should bring enough money for my family, for my kinalach, my wife, give tzedakah. And so last year, I went to my Rebbe like every year. I told him where I'm going, when I'm going. I told him the city that I'm going to take the wood to the big wood market. And I asked a bracha that Hashem should help, everything should be good, and with hatzlacha. And usually the Rebbe always gave me a bracha. That's what usually happened. And Baruch Hashem, every year, I was able to make money and have parnassah for my family, and everything, Baruch Hashem, went very good. And I was thankful to Hashem. Last year, I'll tell you what happened. I wrote in to my Rebbe at Settle, and I told him when I'm going, and I told him which forest, and I told him also the city that I would like to float the water. The city that I would like to float the wood to. It was a big city that had a big wood market and a lot of people came. And I had gone there before and the Rebbe had given me the bracha also to go there before. And many of my other friends who were also in the same business that also did the same thing, they were also going to the same city this year and they also got brachas from the Rebbe. They wrote in to the Rebbe and the Rebbe gave them brachas. By me, a very different thing happened. The tzetl came out with a bracha, but the Rebbe crossed out the name of the city and he said, I should go to a different city. I shouldn't go to that city. So I knew that I shouldn't go to that city. Well, where's another city? There was a different river. and I'll float it down a different river to a different city. Because the Rebbe said I shouldn't go to that city. So what did I do? My other friends that did the same thing, they floated down to their city. They made lots of money. That wood market was very big that year. Each of my friends that went there, they made lots and lots of money. What happened to me? I went down a different river, a different direction to a different city. There came a storm in the river, and all of my wood was lost in the storm. Everything was destroyed and lost and washed away. And I didn't even get to that city because all of my wood was lost in the storm, broken up and smashed to pieces, or it floated away, broke apart because of the storm. And I lost everything that I had. All the money I lost. Now, the other Hasidim, the other Yidden sitting by the table, their eyes were popping out of their heads. What? They couldn't believe, this is a bracha from your Rebbe? You lost everything. You lost all of your money. And the Chassid smiled. He says, you know what the big miracle is here? That I'm the same Chassid as I was before. This is the miracle. Not the miracle that I had a big miracle from my Rebbe and I could say this happened or that happened. I'm the same chassid as I was before. I'm exactly the same feeling towards my Rebbe. I love my Rebbe, and I do what my Rebbe says, and I don't ask any questions. And I'm just as connected and just as stark in how I'm connected with my Rebbe, even though this happened. And the other people still couldn't understand. How could such a thing happen like this? And he's still strongly connected to his Rebbe. Somebody else said, I don't know if I would still go to my Rebbe if that happened. Look what my Rebbe told me to do, and look what happened. I don't know how I'd feel. And the Chassid explained to them, he says, look, just like you cannot figure out Hashem, things happen. You can't figure everything out from Hashem, because Hashem is higher than our thoughts and higher than our ways. We can't figure out what Hashem does. The same thing by a Rebbe. A Rebbe is halik. And sometimes he tells you things that you understand, and sometimes you can't understand. One thing for sure though, whatever the Rebbe says for us is for the good. Just like when Hashem says, Hashem does, whatever Hashem does is good. No matter what it looks like to us, we know everything from Hashem is good. Maybe we don't understand and we believe it. And I'll tell you further. There are three big doors in the Himmel and three big pipes leading into the world. When Hashem gives to the world, it goes either through one door and down one pipe, or another door and down another pipe, or down another door and then another pipe. Of course, this is not the kind of doors and pipes you could see, but it's just a way of talking about how Hashem gives to the world. It's called Bane, Chaye, and Mezoine. Bane means children. Bracha is to children. We have children. The children are gezund. The children give us nachas. That's one way to get from Hashem. Chaye is gezund, health. Baruch Hashem, we're healthy. We have koyach. We could see. We could hear. We could walk. We could think. We could feel. We're alive. And the third thing is called mezoine. Mezoine means parnasa, money. Food, clothes, things that we need to live. Now, Kinalach, sometimes the Rebbe could see that in one of the doors, for whatever reason, the Satan is there. And the Satan is there to, chas v'shalom, do something to that door that we shouldn't get. Why? Maybe we have a Vedas that we didn't do tshuva for. The Satan went to Hashem and said, Hashem, this man, let's claim his Chaim Yankel, let's say his name is Chaim Yankel. Chaim Yankel had certain avedas, and he didn't do tshuva yet. Now, when we do mitzvahs, Hashem gives us brachas, and Hashem gives us rewards. If we do avedas, Hashem is very patient. He gives us a lot of time and a lot of chances for tshuva. But let's say we didn't do tshuva yet. Sometimes, chas v'shalom, the satan could now have rishus to carry out, chas v'shalom, a punishment. Because Hashem is not going to wait forever. And it's not good for us to go on doing avedas without stopping. So something has to stop us. So it could be that now the satan showed the avedas to Hashem. And there was not enough tshuva, so Hashem says, okay, there has to be a punishment. And he goes to the door of, let's say, bonei, of children. And the satan, chas v'shalom, wants to do something to hurt one of the children as a punishment. Now, this would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? One of the children to get sick or to get hurt as a punishment for Neveda, wouldn't that be terrible? Or chaye. Chaye means gezunt. Chas v'shalom, a person himself to get sick, or something to happen to a person, he shouldn't feel good. So you know what the Rebbe does? Sometimes, with Ruach HaKodesh, a Rebbe can take the Yetzer Hara away from one of the gates, one of the doors, and maybe he can't get rid of him completely, but he'll put him on another door, so it's not going to be so bad, like a kapara. So instead of children or gezunt, he puts them on mezoine, on parnasa. So what happens? Instead of losing chas v'shalom, your gezunt, or something to happen to the child, what do? You lose some money. You lose your parnasa. You lose something that costs money, so you have to pay money. This is now better than if chas v'shalom was something else. Now, what was better for me? That chas v'shalom, I should lose my gezunt, or chas v'shalom, my family, somebody should get hurt, or I lost my trees, I lost wood, my trees floated away. What's better, my gezunt to float away, or my trees to float away? What's better, that chas v'shalom, one of my children should get hurt, or my trees got bounced around and got hurt, my trees disappeared? So, what do I have to complain about? It was a good kapara. All I know is that even something happens like that, I lost my parnaseh, I lost my money, I know it comes from Hashem, especially it was through the bracha from my Rebbe, I knew something was going on over there, that this is all for the good. So I lost it. I should get upset to my Rebbe, chas v'shalom, that I lost it? No. Punkt verkehrt. I should be thankful and happy that through my Rebbe I got the bracha to lose all my trees, I lose all my money. That was the bracha. I lost my trees, I lost my money, I lost my parnasa. Better than to lose something from the other gates. That was my Rebbe, okay? I'm the same chassid I was as I was before. A yid should not say, oh, it's good, I'll thank Hashem. Things are not so good, I'm going to be upset, chas v'shalom at Hashem. This is a test. It says the same way we have to thank Hashem when good things happen, we have to thank Hashem even if such not good things happen, because somehow, some way, gamzu l'tayva, it's also for the good. Everything in the end is for the good. But we just sometimes don't understand. One night, the Baal Shem Tov has a dream. And they announced to him that there's a man in the world who has the same Gan Eden and the same reward for his mitzvahs and for his special things that he does for Hashem. He has the same reward as the Baal Shem Tov. He's bringing down the same amount of Kedusha and Heilikait as the Baal Shem Tov is through the Baal Shem Tov's Avodas Hashem. Now, not that the Baal Shem Tov is jealous, chas v'shalom. And the Baal Shem Tov certainly was an Anav, which means The Baal Shem Tov was certainly an Anav, that means he holds himself low. But even an Anav, a person that holds himself low, he knows what he does. The Baal Shem Tov knew what he did for Hashem. Through his davening, and through his learning, and through his Avos Yisrael. The Baal Shem Tov is interested to find out who has the same koyach to bring down Kedusha as the Baal Shem Tov. because they told him, this man is not a Talmud Chacham. This man is a simple shepherd who works in the field with Shepselech, a simple man. Not only that, he does not even know how to read the Aleph base. And this man has the same koyach as the Baal Shem Tov, bringing down Halakhite in the world. So the Baal Shem Tov is very curious to go find out, what does this man do? Who is this person? Not that he's jealous. The Baal Shem Tov Adaraba, he wants to learn better how to serve Hashem from this other person. What is this man doing to serve Hashem? So the Baal Shem Tov will be able to also serve Hashem better by learning from this man what he does. The next day, the Baal Shem Tov, he told some of his Talmidim, if you'd like to come with me, we're going on a trip. We're going to learn something about Avodas Hashem. Of course, they didn't know exactly where they're going and what they're going to learn, but if the Baal Shem Tov wants to take them along with him, they're going to go. And they started to travel through the fields, down the roads, through the fields, until finally they came to a big field, and they saw in the field was a shepherd with a shepselach. The Baal Shem Tov knew that this is the man, but he doesn't want the man to see him or his Talmidim, so they were hiding behind a rock and they were watching. A simple man taking care of the shepselach. And they're watching him for a while to see what is he going to do special to serve Hashem. Of course, he took care of the shepselach. He did a good job. They're waiting to see something special. After all, the Baal Shem Tov is a special tzaddik. This man must be a special tzaddik, or a special man. All of a sudden, the man looks up into the sky, and he starts talking. He says, Hashem, I know you're Hashem, and I want to do something for you. I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to read the Aleph base. Nobody taught me how to daven. Nobody taught me how to read. But I want to do something for you. What do I know how to do? I wish I could do something. Now, this shepherd had like a flute that he used to play in the fields. He says to Hashem, I know how to play a flute. I don't know how to do it very good, but I know how to play a flute. A few songs. I'm going to play my flute for you, Hashem. And he starts playing his flute. He starts playing and playing and playing as much as he could. Until he was so tired, out of breath, from playing his flute to Hashem, he fell down on the ground. Fainted. He got up after a few minutes and he started taking care of the shepselach again. A little while later, as the Baal Shem Tov is watching and his Talmidim, the man again starts looking up into the sky. He says, Hashem, I want to do something for you. I want to do something to serve you, but I don't know what to do. Nobody ever taught me. I don't know how to read. I don't know how to learn. All I know how to do is take care of Shepselech. I played you the flute. You know what I could do? I could sing. I'm going to sing to you, Hashem. And he starts singing. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's singing whatever he could sing. He's singing, looking up to the sky with his hands. He's dancing a little bit. And after he sings for as much as he could, singing whatever he could, he drops down on the ground. He passes out. After a while, he got up. And he goes back to his job, taking care of the shepselach. A little while later, he says again, up to the sky, he puts up his hands, Hashem, I know you're Hashem. You're Hashem of the world. That's one thing I know. And I want to do something for you. What can I do for you? How much can I do for you? I played you my flute. I played whatever I knew. I sang to you. I sang whatever I knew. What else could I give you? I can't give you davening. I can't give you learning. I can't give you an aleph and a base. I know what I could give you. My boss, yesterday, he called his workers. I'm one of his workers. And he gave us each a nickel, a special nickel. It was maybe his birthday. It was maybe a special day. He was in a good mood. I don't know what it was. But for some reason, he gave his workers an extra nickel. Everybody got an extra nickel. He was in a good mood. So what do I have that's special? In my pocket, I have the nickel that he gave me. It's usually a thing that I never have, a nickel in my pocket. Hashem, you know what I can do? I'll give you the nickel. It's the best thing I have. He took the nickel. The Baal Shem Tov is watching with his Talmidim, Kinelach. He took out the nickel. He looked up into the sky and he threw it up in the air. But as they were watching, they saw a hand came down from the Himmel. It caught this nickel and it went back up into the sky. And now the Baal Shem Tov saw, this is no ordinary person. Now, what do we see from this Maisa Kinelach? One thing for sure, this Yid, whoever he was, as simple as he was, he served Hashem with whatever he could, with his whole koyach and with simcha. Maybe he's not a big Talmud Chachem, maybe he can't give Hashem a beautiful davening or a beautiful tehillim or a beautiful mishnayis or psukim of chumash or rashis or gemaras, and he can't give Hashem a whole all kinds of mitzvahs and rambam, but whatever he could, not only what he gave to Hashem, how did he give it to Hashem? With his whole heart, with his whole koyach, with everything he had. This is what Hashem wanted. This is what Hashem loved. Even that nickel. He gave with Hashem his whole koyach. What happened? Hashem sent down a hand from the Shemayim and he took that. What do we learn about Cain and Hevel? It's not just that Hevel gave the best of the Shepselach and Cain gave the yucky fruit. But how did Hevel give it? Remember what it says? Basimcha, with his whole heart. One time Kinelach was a very big tzaddik, and you've heard his name before, Reb Shimon ben Shetach. He was the same one in the story of the 80 witches. Reb Shimon ben Shetach Kinelach was a great tzaddik, a great Talmud Chochem. He used to teach Torah to the boys. He used to teach Torah to the men, but he never wanted to have any money paid to him to teach Torah. He wanted to teach for free. Whoever came to learn from him, he never took a penny. Why? He says, look, when the Yidden got the Torah by Har Sinai, did they have to pay? Did Hashem make them pay to get the Torah? No. Only they were there by Har Sinai, they were a Yid. Hashem gave them the Torah for absolutely no money at all. So Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach said, when I teach Torah, I have to copy Hashem. Just like Hashem gave the Torah for free, I also have to give the Torah for free. Now, if a person is learning and teaching the whole time, and he has a family, and he also has to eat, and he has to buy clothes for the Kinelach, he needs money. And if he's not getting money from the learning and from the teaching, he has to have money in a different way. So Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach decided that he is going to work and make money just working a regular job, and it would not be a job of teaching or learning. And so what would he do? This is what he did. Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach would walk out to the farms, where the farmers would grow the flax. Flax is a certain kind of a plant. And from this plant, they would make threads and they would make material for clothes. It's a certain kind of a good material. And by the way, this kind of material is not allowed to be mixed with wool, because if it is, it's shatness. But just flax by itself makes a material called linen, which by itself is a good material, but not to be mixed with any wool. Now, Reb Shimon ben Shetach would go to the farms and he would buy the flax from the farmers. He would put it on his back like a big package, and he would carry it into the town. He would schlep it on his back to the town, these heavy bags, and he would go to the marketplace and he would sell the flax to people that wanted to buy it to make clothes or to make material. So he schlepped it from the farms to the city and he sold it there. And that way he made a little extra money for his family. Now the Talmidim of Reb Shimon Shetach, they saw the Rebbe working so hard. And then they knew how hard he worked just in learning and davening and teaching Torah and doing mitzvahs. And they felt bad for the Rebbe that he should also have to work so hard schlepping bags from the farm into the city. They said, we wish our Rebbe wouldn't have to work so hard. He should just learn and daven and teach the whole day and do mitzvahs. But they knew the Rebbe wanted to work and not receive money for Torah, so he had to work. So the Talmidim made a meeting, and they said, how can we make our Rebbe's life a little easier, that he shouldn't have to work so